Sampradaya, in whom the great reformer appeared as Sri Ramanujacharya. The Brahma Sampradaya, which was propagated far and wide by Srimadvacharya. The Kumara Sampradaya, which was widely propagated by Nimbarkacharya. And the Rudra Sampradaya, which was very widely propagated by Vishnu Swami. Now, of these great sampradayas, which we accept as the authorized version of God, protected and sustained through disciplic succession, in essence, the message is one. But there are certain details which often create a format for debate or confusion, in the sense that although these Vaishnava Sampradayas all accept Vishnu as supreme, the Brahma Sampradaya of Madhvacharya, the Sri Sampradaya of Ramanujacharya, as well as the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, they generally consider Narayan to be supreme and Krishna to be incarnation of Narayan. Now, some of us, when we confront such people, we take the role that there is no difference between Narayan and Krishna, so either way you are correct, that is true. And in fact, that is a true statement. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in this particular chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, first, he wants to establish that Narayan is the supreme, that the Purushavatars, Karunadakshai Vishnu, Kshirodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, they are expansions who are in contact with material energy, who are dealing with the world of Maya, but that the original source of all of them is Narayan, and this Narayan, he is eternally, transcendentally above the influence of Maya, and he never deals with the world of Maya, only through his expansions. So therefore, he is confirming what these great previous acharyas have concluded, that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Absolute Truth. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Shadapada Pashanti Suraya. That there is no truth superior to Vishnu. But he wants to make very, very clearly understood to all of us that Krishna is the original complete source of Narayan and not vice versa. And Kaviraj Goswami, in his very, very scholarly approach, he is irrefutably establishing Krishna as the fountainhead of all incarnations. Sarva-karana-karanam, the cause of all causes. He begins by quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma, he steals the cows and the calves, the calves and the cowherd boys, in order to see, really, who is this Krishna. Because Kamsa was sending so many great asuras to Vrindavan. And Agasura was such a mighty demon. He was a big serpent. When he opened his mouth, his mouth touched the clouds. And yet this little coward boy killed Agasura. He expanded himself within the mouth of Agasura to such a size that your demon suffocated. And when he died, the light of his soul came out of his, the top of his head and went into the sky. And after he had already swallowed Krishna and his friends, upon his death, his mouth slackened and it opened. And that spiritual spark was residing within the sky. And it wasn't until after Krishna, he left the mouth of Agasura last, after all the boys, then that spark, everyone witnessed that it entered into the body of Krishna. Now, Shukadev Goswami explains to Maharaj Pariksit that 1 year passed before the elder members of the Brajabhasi community heard this story. So, Maharaj Pariksit is saying, it's such a wonderful leela. Obviously, they were singing about it the day they got home. Why is it that nobody heard this story for 1 year? And he explained, after killing this demon and so many others, Lord Brahma wanted to see, who is this Krishna? What kind of powers does he have that he can kill these asuras? And he led the cows, or the calves, away with fresh grasses. He stole them all. Then he stole all the cowherd boys. Krishna expanded himself to look identical to each boy and each calf. And in this way, for one moment of Brahma, which is equivalent to 1 year of our times, Krishna is playing this part. And Krishna had his internal reasons for this too. Because Katyayani was being worshipped by the gopis, as Nityodita Maharaj was describing last night, because they wanted Krishna's husband. And Krishna wanted to satisfy their desires on many levels. On one level, he allowed them to stand before him without any clothes. And only a wife will stand before her husband without clothes in a chaste society, Vedic civilization. Of course, nowadays, in the Western world, women are very anxious to stand before everyone without clothes. But in the civilized society, only husbands. So in this way, because Krishna allowed them to stand before him this way, he accepted them as wives. But Krishna wanted to fulfill their desire even more than that. Because during that year, when all the cowherd boys were sleeping in a mystic slumber in a cave under the jurisdiction of Lord Brahma, Krishna became all the cowherd boys and all the calves. And during that year, Krishna approached Nanda Maharaj and said, this is a very auspicious year so that all the cowherd boys should get married to the young gopis. So Nanda Maharaj was always very much anxious to satisfy Krishna. So therefore, marriages were arranged with all the young gopis who were worshipping Katyayani, with all the young cowherd boys. But it just so happened that all the cowherd boys were Krishna. So actually, they all married Krishna. So Krishna really, really fulfilled their desire. There's a place in Vrindavan today called Tapovan. We have just been there last month. That is the actual place, the gopis, for that 1 month. They only ate the very simple, what is it called, havishan, the rice cooked in dal with no spices. And there they would worship the murti of Katyayani and offer their prayers. And not far from Tapovan is Chirghat. It's in a very remote, secluded part of Brajadham, the original Chirghat. That is where Krishna stole the gopis' clothes and made them stand before him naked. And there's also another Chirghat in Vrindavan village itself. That is during the Ras Lila, Krishna also stole their clothes. That is a different story. So there are two Chirghat trees. But this particular one takes place toward the Mathura side in the banks of the Jamuna. So when Krishna fulfilled his divine purpose by marrying all gopis, 1 year went by, Lord Brahma came, to see what type of anxiety and confusion he created. And everything was going on just as normal. He saw all the cowherd boys and all the calves. Everything was going on. And Brahma was thinking, what, did they escape? Perhaps they escaped. So he went back to the cave, and they were still sleeping. And he looked, and the form of a boy, exactly that same boy, was in Vrindavan. And he was going back. Maybe while I'm checking one place, they're running to the other place. So he was going back and forth and back and forth. And he became so bewildered. He saw the same calves, the same boys in both places. And in his bewildered state, because he was not accustomed to people outdoing him, he's the supreme creator of each universe. He's the predominating father of all living beings. So he became so much confused. And then, right before his own eyes, each calf and each boy turned into a four-armed form of Narayan and had all great saints and all demigods and all living beings surrounded each one, worshipping them. Then Lord Brahma, he realized that he was just insignificant and he was full of ignorance. He considered himself to be totally empty of any worth whatsoever. Upon seeing this incredibly opulent, majestic scene. And then that scene disappeared, and it was only Krishna standing there with the butter, yogurt, and fruit in his hand looking for his friends, just as before. Then Lord Brahma realized this, who is Krishna. So he came down and he surrendered to Krishna. He placed his beautiful golden helmet on the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna was not impressed. He doesn't care about big people. He doesn't care about wealth. He only cares about the simplicity and humility of a person's devotion. Even Lord Brahma cannot impress Krishna with all his wealth and prestige and power and creative intelligence. So sometimes we think that our service, because we have very good creative intelligence, we're very intellectual, we're very well-versed in scripture, we can perform our duties very well. We can build wonderful buildings, wonderful temples. We can perform sankirtan in a wonderful way. We can cook opulent preparations. We can donate billions and billions of rupees. Sometimes we think this gives us some value. But, I mean, in regard to intelligence, in regard to wealth, in regard to knowledge, who can compare to Lord Brahma on this earth? We are all insects compared to him. Krishna was not impressed by him. Such a big man coming and surrendering. This little cowherd boy just ignored him. Unless you're a humble servant, Krishna is not impressed by anything you do. So then Lord Brahma realized that I must just become the humble servant. And he began to offer these prayers to Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami is reciting so beautifully. First, Lord Brahma, he says that, my dear Lord, you are the supreme Narayan. You are the very source and basis of Narayan. I surrender to you. I have been so ignorant. I've considered you to be an ordinary person. And Lord Krishna says, no. Narayan is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is worshipable. I am only a cowherd boy. I am just here in Vrindavan, taking care of the cows in the order of my father. And Brahma, he said, no. And then he began to explain in so many ways how Krishna is the original source of Narayan. Lord Brahma was saying like this. He says, I know who is Narayan because Narayan is my father and my mother, because I was born from the navel of Narayan. The navel was like his umbilical cord, the lotus flower. Therefore, Narayan is my mother on that level. And he's also my father, because he's the seed-giving father of all living beings. He's giving me direction, protection. Narayan is my father and my mother. I know who is Narayan. I know he is the supreme absolute truth. But I also can understand, now that I am having your darshan and seeing your divine potencies, that Narayan, who is my father, is an expansion, an incarnation of you. You are the original candle. He is a secondary candle. Lord Brahma is explaining like this. Kaviraj explains that Narayana and Sri Krishna are the same supreme personality of Godhead, but although they are identical, their bodily features are different. And he's explaining here this Sri Krishna's Brahma told Krishna that because I consider you to be the supreme Narayan, and therefore you are my supreme father, my supreme mother, please forgive me for my offense, because a parent understands that a child is basically ignorant and unqualified, and therefore they easily excuse the offenses of childlike children like me. So please forgive me. He's taking this role. Krishna said, oh, Brahma, your father is Narayan, but I am a cowherd boy. How can you be my son? And then, Lord Brahma, he begged Krishna for pardon. He begged him again and again. He said, I took birth from the lotus that grew from your navel. Thus you are both my father and mother. Therefore I beg you to pardon your child. And then he starts explaining the whole principle of creation. Who knows better than Brahma? How all living entities within both the material and spiritual world, he says, are ultimately born of you. For you are the super soul of all living entities. You are the original cause of everything. He explains, Lord Brahma just gives definition of the word Narayan. In Sanskrit he says, Nara means the aggregate of all living beings. And Ayana means the refuge of them all. So Narayan means the refuge of all living entities. And you are therefore the original Narayan. This is one reason. Please listen as I state the second. The direct lords of the living beings are the Purusha avatars, but your opulence and power are more exalted than any of theirs. You are the original father of everyone. Since you protect all those who are shelters amongst human beings, you are the original Narayan. And then he explained that there are countless of universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas. Both in this material world and in this transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living beings in the past, present, and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have any without your supervision. You oversee the wanderings of all living beings. For this reason, you are the primeval Lord, Narayan. And he goes on in this way. And this is the basis by which we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the basis of such ultimate authorities. After explaining how Lord Brahma, the original father and guru of all living beings, is accepting Krishna as the original source and fountainhead of everything, Kaviraj Goswami wants to give more evidence, and he quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam this very important shloka, Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yadganum advayan brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. That transcendentalists understand the absolute truth as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And he explains, according to the Bhagavatam, how Bhagavan is the source of Paramatma and Brahman. We have already discussed these matters. But then he describes in the world of Bhagavan, on this platform of transcendental understanding, there is another verse which explains the truth of the supreme fountainhead and source of all incarnations of Godhead. Ete changcha kala pungsha krishnas tu bhagavan sayam. That Sutta Goswami describes to the sages of Naimasaranya that there are many, many incarnations of the Lord, but all of them are either portions or plenary portions of Krishna. Krishnas tu bhagavan sayam. And he's explaining here that an opponent may say, this is your interpretation, but actually the Supreme Lord is Narayan, who is in the transcendental realm. he, Narayan, incarnates as Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of the verse as I see it. There is no need for further consideration. Kaviraj Goswami replies. See, this is a very common method of really bringing to light certain critical subject matters that are not often misunderstood, is great authors present the subject matter in the form of a challenge and then an answer. Socrates also did like this. Socrates would begin his lectures by posing a question, challenging his own philosophy. And then he would continue by defeating the question that he already established as a pretense. This is called the Socratic method. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is using the same. He is challenging his own philosophy and about to defeat that challenge. Madhvacharya also did like this. There is one book where it is 108 refutations against the Mayavad philosophy. And it's a beautiful book. And what he does is he, throughout the book, he presents the arguments of Shankaracharya's followers, and then he defeats that argument, point by point. And this way he establishes Vaishnava philosophy. So Kaviraj Goswami is here accepting this technique. To such a misguided interpreter, we may reply, why should you suggest such fallacious logic? An interpretation is never accepted as evidence if it opposes the principles of Scripture. One should not state a predicate before its subject, for it cannot thus stand without proper support. If I do not state the subject, I do not state a predicate. I first speak the former and then speak of the latter. The predicate of a sentence is what is unknown to the reader, whereas a subject is what is known to him. And he uses the example that a vipra is a greatly learned man. In this sentence, the vipra is the subject and the predicate is his erudition. First, the word ete establishes the subject. Ete means these. Ete chang shakalam bhungsa. Ete means these. What does these mean? It means all the incarnations. Sutta Goswami has already explained the various principal avatars. Then he says, ete changsha, all these incarnations. Then plenary portions of the Purusha avatars follows the predicate. All these ete changsha kala pungshang, that means all of these incarnations and their plenary expansions and portions of the plenary expansions. In the same way Krishna was first counted among the incarnations, specific knowledge about him was still unknown. Therefore, the first word Krishna appears as the subject, followed by the predicate describing him as the original personality of Godhead. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. So through logic and grammar, he's explaining how this verse from the Bhagavata must be accepted clearly as it is. Ete chang shakala pung chang, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That of all of these incarnations and all of these parts and plenary expansions, Krishna is the original source of everything, which includes Narayan. And then he explains that this establishes Krishna as the original personality of Godhead. Had Krishna been the plenary portion of Narayan, the statement of Sutta Goswami would have been reversed. It would have said Narayan is the source of incarnations. Narayana Angsha Ye Swayam Bhagavan. It should have read like that. It would have said Narayan is the source of all incarnations, is the original personality of Godhead, and he has appeared as Sri Krishna. But it's saying that Krishna's the original source, he's appeared as all these incarnations of Narayan. And he says, mistakes, illusion, cheating, and defective perception do not occur in the sayings of the authoritative sages. He said, you may You say something contradictory and become angry when this is pointed out. Your explanation has the defect of a misplaced object. This is an unconsidered adjustment. Only the personality of Godhead, the source of all other divinities, is eligible to be designated Swayam Bhagavan or the primeval Lord. When from one candle many others are lit, I consider that one the original. Krishna, in the same way, is the cause of all causes and all incarnations. Please hear another verse to defeat all misinterpretations. And then he goes on to explain. In the same same line, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Sri Rangam, he was living at the house of Venkata Bhatt, who was a very, very great learned scholar of the Sri Sampradaya. And he was a pure devotee. And he had an uncle named, a brother named Prabodhananda, and another brother named Tirumal Bhatt. Prabodhananda, according to many authorities, was already a sannyasi of the Sri Sampradaya. And they were completely dedicated in utter surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Ranganath, Sri Narayan. They were in a perfectly bona fide sampradaya, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very greatly pleased to see their great devotion and worship to the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, he wanted to give them the intimate gift of something more. And therefore, he spoke with Venkata Bhatt one day, and he was playing with it in a joking way, but also with a very specific purpose. You see, when great souls, they may sometimes joke, they may sometimes criticize, they may sometimes contradict themselves, but they always have a very, very special purpose of improving the quality of the listener if that person is simply submissive. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Why are you worshipping Lord Narayan? My Krishna, God, he is better." And Venkata Bhatta says, "Why you are making a distinction? Krishna and Narayan are the same person. Everyone knows that Narayan and Krishna are one." Krishna said, "Oh, if they are one, then why is it that Lakshmi, the consort of Narayan, she left Narayan to perform tapasya to see Krishna?" And Venkata Bhatta, This is not in any way a deviation from Lakshmi's chastity. For a chaste woman to leave her husband for anything else, for anyone else, is considered very unbecoming. But because Krishna is identical, non-different than Narayan, when Lakshmi left Narayan to go to do tapasya to see Krishna, she was not leaving her husband. She was just going from one form of the husband to another. Therefore, we have to accept that Lakshmi did not in any way give up her chastity as the wife of Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, that is very good. But why is it that she performed so many long days of tapasya just to enter into Krishna's Rasa-lila, to enter into Vrindavan, and she was never allowed to even come in because of her awe and reverence? There is a place in Vrindavan called Belvan. Many of you have been, and this is a very holy place. It is considered to be one of the most sacred and holy places in Brajadham, because this place, each place in Vrindavan, although it has such a beautiful sentiment for the loving Leela that took place there, it also, each holy place establishes a certain supreme attribute of the ultimate divinity of Krishna's Leela. So Belvan is across the Jamuna from Vrindavan, where the Ras Leela was taking place. And Sri Lakshmi Devi, she left Vaikuntha, and she left Narayan, because she so deeply was longing to have relationship with her husband, Narayan, in the beautiful form of Sri Krishna, where there was such a freedom of beauty and sweetness being shared, that she never experienced through her husband in the form of Vaikunthanath. So she wanted to cross over the Jamuna to enter into the Ras Mandal, but she was not allowed to do so, because in Vrindavan everyone's consciousness is tinged with the spontaneous nature of Parakiya Ras, that sense of reverence for a wife to a husband is not there in Vrindavan. Parakiya Ras is a very free relationship. Sakya Ras is very free relationship. Actually, this freedom of Parakiya is tinging all the different rasas of Vrindavan. It is the abode of Parakiya Ras, whether you are in Vatsalya Ras or Sakya Ras. The potency of the gopis' Parakiya Ras influences everyone's consciousness into a state of complete spontaneity in their loving reciprocation with Krishna. So Lakshmi Devi was performing. She was asked to be given entrance, and they said, you wait here, let us see. So for a long time she was waiting, performing tapasya, fasting. And it is explained that Krishna actually appeared to her in her vision and told her that you can only enter into Vrindavan if you leave aside completely within your heart the idea that you are my wife. You have to leave aside the conception that you are the goddess of fortune. You have to leave aside the idea that you have any fortune whatsoever. And you have to become the maidservant of one of the gopis. And, of course, Lakshmi, it was not her nature to do like that. So therefore, she was not allowed to enter into the Rasleela of Sri Krishna. But by Krishna's causeless mercy, from Balvan, she was given the vision by which she could see it all. She could actually take part in it as a witness from that place. But she was not allowed to actually be a participant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing, not in this detail, but in principle, he was describing how Lakshmi was like this. Why is this? He said to Venkatabhat. Why your lovable goddess has done like this for my Krishna? And Venkatabhat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words were so full of love and so full of authority, conviction, that Venkatabhat, I don't understand anything. I don't know anything. He was completely bewildered, completely perplexed. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that you should never speak in such a way to disturb the faith of another, right? So why Mahaprabhu was doing like this? His worshipable Lord, who he worshipped from the day of his birth, who was God. His faith was completely bewildered. He didn't know who was God, what was God anymore. So when Lord Chaitanya saw him in this condition, he said, actually, Venkata, actually, there's no difference between Narayan and Krishna, so you shouldn't be like that. And then Katabhata said, Mahaprabhuji, he said, I do not know who is Narayan, I do not know who is Krishna. I thought I knew, but now I know. Now I know that I don't know. I only know one thing, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whatever you say, I surrender to that. So Krishna told him to chant Hare, Mahaprabhu told him to chant Hare Krishna. So really, what is the difference between Narayan and Krishna? They are the same one Supreme Person. But Krishna is most complete in that he allows the most intimate love to be reciprocated with him. Through Ram, through Vamanadev, through Venkateshwa, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan. The Lord is always worshipped in this mood of Aishwarya. Aishwarya means reverence and material, not material, reverence and great pomp and opulence in the worship. Later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is also the story where Srivas Thakur, during the Harapanchami festival, where there's a festival in Jagannath Puri where Lakshmi Devi, she becomes angry with Lord Jagannath. So Srivas Thakur was challenging Swarup Damodar, that why you are worshipping Krishna? Don't you see that Lakshmi and Narayan, how they are living in Vaikuntha with all the greatest opulence of beautiful golden thrones and wonderful, wonderful palaces? And he was just describing the beauty, the opulence, and the supreme glory of Vaikuntha Loka. And he said, and Krishna is living in the forest? He doesn't even wear shoes. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami, in his mood of Lalita Sakhi, began to explain, there is no supreme opulence greater than Vrindavan. The opulence of Vrindavan is not in the Aishwarya, in the reverence of the greatness of Narayan. The opulence of Vrindavan, as long as one is the slightest bit tinged with attachment to this Aishwarya, worship, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as King, as Lord, as Master, one cannot enter into Vrindavan. Only one who has complete spontaneous loving affection. This is the opulence of Vrindavan. The intensity and the freedom of love that Krishna reciprocates with all the devotees, which he does not reciprocate anywhere. So in this way, Krishna is considered the Purna Avatar. When he appeared on this earth, he was the most complete. Actually, complete means everything was included in him. How is Krishna the most complete of all the incarnations that appeared in this world? We understand that if you take any avatar, Krishna had all those things, all those qualities. But no other avatar has all Krishna's qualities. For instance, Lord Nrsimhadev displayed great, great strength, great, great power, in ripping to pieces Hiranyakashipu. But Krishna also displayed such great strength, such great power in killing Kamsa, in killing Dantavakra, in killing Shishupal. But did Nrsimhadev appear with the sweetness of a baby child? So Krishna had everything Nrsimhadev had, but Nrsimhadev did not have everything Krishna had. Let's take Ram. Ram was the perfect gentleman, the perfect king, the most responsible husband and support of all of his kingdom. Krishna also. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, he did everything impeccably. He was a perfect husband, a perfect kshatriya, a perfect king, perfect in every regard. So therefore, Krishna revealed all the opulence of Ram. But Krishna also stole butter. He also lied. Did Ram ever lie or steal butter? No. So what does that mean? Krishna had all the opulences of Ram, but Ram did not have all the qualities of Krishna. Krishna was simultaneously the best example of Dharma and the best example of being a cheater and a rascal and a transcendental platform. So therefore, you will find any avatar, you compare them, Krishna revealed in equal to them what they did, but Krishna did things that nobody else, that they did not. So therefore, he is Purna Avatar. He is the most complete. He is the most perfect. And for this reason, although we accept all of these great Vaishnava sampradayas, and we accept the worship of Narayan as supreme, in our own hearts, we are simply fixed in Krishna. It's like recently, Abhijit and myself went to Tirupati, And we saw the beautiful divine form of Venkateshwara. Venkateshwara means the Lord of Vaikuntha. And he's worshipped with such majesty and opulence and greatness. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful darshan. But in my heart I was thinking that how wonderful it is that Krishna appears as such a great king. But how wonderful it is that as the same majestic, supreme, all-pervading, powerful personality appears in a higher level as your friend, as your lover, as your lover. He wrestles with you and sometimes lets you win. So which God is more lovable? It's the same person, but which aspect of that supreme Venkateshwara is most lovable? Krishna. For the devotees of Krishna, of course. So in this way, through so many angles of reasoning, Kaviraj Goswami wants to establish that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the supreme, fullest, topmost of all gods. He is Ishvara Paramakrishna. And he's confirming it on the basis of the words of Brahma, on the words of Sukadeva Goswami, Shute Goswami, and he's going on in this way. And what is his ultimate goal? We will find at the end of this chapter, after irrefutably establishing Krishna's supreme position, he goes back to his original premise that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is Krishna. He is none different than Krishna. So with this understanding, continue on reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then you will really taste the sweet nectar of these divine pastimes. Any questions?
Well, all these four sampradayas, at least Ramanujacharya, he also was inspired by, you know, initiated by Vedavyas. He also went to Vedavyas.
Madhvacharya.
Yeah, but Ramanujacharya
also. Ramanuja also met Vedavyas in Madhvacharya, but he was initiated by, he had several gurus. Jamunacharya was one.
So they became as if the same thing that after going to this, they became Acharya, in the position of Acharya. If all of them accept Vedavyas as coming in that line, accept Srimad Bhagavatam, then how would you explain this verse of Eti Chamsa
Prabhu? This is exactly the way Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying. Krishnadas Kaviraj is quoting them when he says that the interpreter will say, what was I reading? But Kaviraj Goswami, he had met all these great acharyas from all these great sampradayas. He's quoting what they say. I'll repeat exactly the verse. He says, Purva paksha kahe tomar bala tavyakyan Paravyoma Narayana Swayam Bhagavan. An opponent may say, this is your interpretation, but actually the Supreme Lord is Narayan, who is in the transcendental realm. Tena asi Krishna rupe korina avatar, earta sloke deki kihara vichar. He, Narayan, incarnates as Lord Sri Krishna. This is the meaning of the verse as I see it. There is no need for further consideration. In other words, they just accepted it that and don't want to consider it beyond. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says, he starts explaining to this interpreter that that may be your opinion, but as far as we're concerned, we want to further consider it. And upon further consideration, this is the conclusion. You see, ultimately, Vaikuntha planets, as well as the supreme Vaikuntha planet of Goloka, They are all eternally residing within the spiritual sky. And therefore, some jivatmas, their nature is to be eternally residing in this Aishwarya Leela with Narayan, the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha. And therefore, for such persons, they will understand the verse of Vedavyas in a certain way. Vedic, yeya tamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyam. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. That's in this world, but it's also in the spiritual world. If you approach Krishna with a pure, unmotivated heart of love in this Aishwarya Leela, then Krishna will reveal himself as the Supreme in the form of Narayan, Venkateshwara. If you approach Krishna in the mood